you can find. This is amazingly, just on the topic here, this is a little kit, little set of four kings. It's got a Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Manasseh. They're Bulim. These are all actual been found. These are replicas, but these have been found. So you start with Jotham. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? They have found Bula of these people. These are replicas of the actual ones they have found. Jotham, they found his signature pressed into clay. Ahaz, they found his signature from his signet ring pressed in clay. They have found several of Hezekiah's. They found one for the first time in a scientific excavation about 3 or 4 years ago. In the same excavation, they found this Isaiah Bula. So we got the prophet Isaiah and Hezekiah Bula found in a scientific excavation. And then we've got Manasseh Bula. So these four kings of the tribe of David, these are, again, replicas. You can pass those around and look at them to get to see the kings. This is the Isaiah. It's just stuck on there because it's got the king in a little pad. That was actually found. It's missing. What it says on there, it's got on the top a half, it's got a doe standing there, a deer standing there, maybe grazing or something. You can see the legs of it. Like I said, that's not a very good copy. And then on the bottom it says Isaiah, clearly says Isaiah, and then it says the prophet. And again, the word, in the Hebrew, the first letter of the word prophet is only partially there, so you're not real sure what it is, but there's only one word that would make sense, or one letter that would make it into a word, that's the word prophet. So there's really no doubt it says Isaiah the prophet. It'd be like taking the P and dropping it off and saying, it says Rophet, but there's a letter missing, and you got to figure out, in the alpha, is it Prophet, Kophet? You know, it's like, no, there's not a word that would make sense. So that's Isaiah the prophet. Those are replicas. Another thing that we found, when I say we, I'm talking about research Christians that are interested, archaeologists that are interested in these things, is Ostracon. During the fall of Babylon, or fall of Jerusalem by Babylon, by Nebuchadnezzar, as he was invading and during the siege, they were writing letters from Jerusalem to Lachish, because Lachish was under attack. Lachish was in contact with Ezekiah, and in one of those communications, it says, we can no longer see the lights of Ezekiah. We can't see it any longer. Meaning, they are signaling back and forth during this invasion, because they would have communication, like we'd text or something. They'd use some kind of flashing light system with, their torches or lights. They'd have fire. And during the invasion, all of a sudden, the lights go out, and communication has stopped. It's like the Titanic sinking. We've lost communication. And they said on one of these communications back to Jerusalem, we've lost communication with Ezekiel, and Lachish has left. Also on those communications, they found them in the guardhouse of Lachish. When they're excavating Lachish, they found them in the guardhouse. In the heat of the battle, they were just buried, these communications. There's a mention of the prophet on there. And the prophet, and it's not, saying negative things. It doesn't say the prophet Jeremiah, but it would have been during this 586 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar destroys Jerusalem. So we've got prophets Zephaniah, Habakkuk, we've got Jeremiah that are saying negative things. And Jeremiah definitely was in prison at the time for being negative, not being patriotic. And it mentions something about the prophet on those. Those communications were on what we call ostracons. Ostracons. And ostracons are basically, these are authentic now. These are authentic potsherds. I picked these up myself. These both came from Hazor, and these are broken pottery. And so what a potsherd would be, this is a potsherd, a broken pot. But when they would take, and you can see how smooth this one is. Some of them I've got, there's designs on. I'll show you another one that's got some art on it, very little art. But they would write on this, kind of like a sticky note. They would write, and they've got ink inscriptions. Once you write on this, and it's found, it's called an ostracon. These are potsherds. I do not have an ostracon. I'd love to have an ostracon. That would be some kind of Hebrew inscription or some kind of ink inscription. It wouldn't be pressed in while it was wet because it was hardened to be a pot, but when it broke, it's like, well, let's write on this. And there was like 7 or 8 or 9 potsherds left in the guardhouse, and on there were writing about the battle that they were facing with Nebuchadnezzar, including the comment about Ezekiel. Now, these are actual potsherds. It says in the back, Hazor, where I found them in Hazor, picked them up in Hazor. That's in northern Israel. Here's another. The closest thing I've got to an ostracon would be this piece right here. This is I picked this up in Beth Shemesh, which Beth Shemesh is the city in the Valley of Elah, southwest of Jerusalem, and the valley runs right into Gath and the Philistine cities. In fact, when they put the Ark of the Covenant on the cart with the ox or the cows that pulled it, it pulled it right to Beth Shemesh, which was a Levitical city, right to the Levites, and that's where they received the Ark of the Covenant. So that's where this piece was found. On this potsherd, there's some kind of ink inscription on this, some kind of writing on this. Again, it's probably part of the original pot, I'm not sure, but that's got some decoration on it. Okay, that I've showed you two things. You've got some kind of scrolls that were written on that were sealed with bula. You've got ostracon. I didn't show you one, but I described it. What's interesting in chapter 2, and I just want to, I'll mention this again when we get there in 4 months, but Habakkuk is being told by the Lord after Habakkuk's complained the first time. The Lord answered him. Habakkuk challenges God again. I don't understand this. God responds the second time with apparently new revelation or new information. And he says to him, chapter 2, verse 2, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation. What revelation? Well, the revelation I'm about to give you. Write this down. It's no different than John being told, write down everything that you see. Or Ezekiel writing down the things that he was shown. But he says, write down the revelation. And watch this right here. And make it plain on tablets. Now, an ostracon is a broken piece of pottery. It's not a tablet. So that's not what he's writing on. A tablet is not a scroll or parchment. He could have written on that. We know Isaiah would have wrote on that. We know Jeremiah wrote on that because when he sent it to the king tore off part of it, threw it in the fire. They unrolled a little more, read it, cut it off, threw it in the fire, probably using a scribe's knife to cut it off. This is a tablet, and a tablet would be, interestingly, when Nebuchadnezzar burnt Jerusalem in 586 B.C., he wrote on a tablet. This is in the British Museum. Now, I do not have this. I took a picture of it while I was in the British Museum. I took a lot of pictures. I need to go back and take more. There's so much there that the average Christian would benefit knowing what was there and getting to see the tremendous. I saw Artaxerxes' wine bowl. I mean, the whole set had been found with Artaxerxes' name inscribed around it. And that would have been what Nehemiah would have served the wine in. Now, we don't have Nehemiah's fingerprints on it, but if Nehemiah served wine to Artaxerxes, and we've got one of Artaxerxes' silver wine bowls, the whole wine set, there's a good possibility Nehemiah handled it. Now, we do have, are you ready for this? We don't have a seal from Jeremiah, but we have found Baruch, his scribe. We have found a seal of Baruch's from that time period where Baruch, who did all the writing for, was one of his scribes. And on the back of it, or on the side of it, when he pressed it in, there's also a fingerprint. On the back of a bula, if it's sealed like a document, there'd be lines, like if you rolled it up, there'd be lines from, we'd say, the paper or the parchment or the papyrus on the back of the bula that it was pressed against the paper. But also when you press in your signature ring, or if it wasn't always a signature, sometimes it would be on a necklace, you just press it in, you get a fingerprint on the side of it. And we have Baruch's, Jeremiah scribe's, fingerprint as he pressed it in. He's the one who pressed it in. Now I've got some bula, and when you zoom in on it, you can see a fingerprint on one of the bulas. Now the ones I've got are no one cares. They're not important. They're in an archive, a library in any city, burnt, and usually they do sometime after, you know, a period of time. everything's torched, and all the bulas are glazed and fall to the floor. So they discover an archive or a city library, or you know, where they kept the documents, who owned what property, you know, the inheritance, whatever, the court records. Those are all gone, but all those bulas, whoever sealed them, they're all there. Now, a lot of these things, we don't know who they are. There's their signature, there's a little image, and it's pressed on there. And so I've got a couple of those ones got up here. This is a tablet of Nebuchadnezzar. It's called the Babylonian Chronicles. There's all kinds of information recorded on these. And it wasn't until the late 1800s, I think it was, 1857, I think, right around there, they broke the code. They knew these things are something. And then finally someone broke the code and realized now they're reading it. And this is Nebuchadnezzar's account of the destruction of Jerusalem in 586. It's I don't want to say exactly, because you've got the account of the Bible, the Book of Chronicles, telling you about it, but you know the date, you know the events. This is Nebuchadnezzar saying similar to the same thing. He's not all about Jerusalem. It's just he mentions that he burnt Jerusalem, conquered it, did these things to it. In fact, it says, captures Jerusalem, recorded on the official Babylon document, records his reign during the year 605 to 595 on clay tablets. And this records that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, surrendered Jerusalem in 597. So this is the 597 surrendering of Jerusalem when Jehoiakim handed it over. And then there's another one that actually has the destruction, 586 destruction of Jerusalem. So, I mean, it's the same date, same place, same time. And that is a cuneiform. This looks huge. Huge. My gosh. You have to carry this thing like, you know, how many people take to carry this? Well, I'll show you. Now, there are huge, and when they were public, like public displays, there'd be huge, you know, monuments, you know, stones. But when they're, you're going to be running with, like right here, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it for the revelation of points and point out. You've got something that's supposed to run with this message. And so it can't be huge. It can't be huge. It's going to have to be, and here we have right here, these are authentic. These are real. These are from 1900 BC. This be from the days of Abraham. These are actually cuneiform tablets. Now, they're difficult to read. You can see the inscriptions. But this is a tablet. And they would hold it in their hand, and they'd have a stylus, which would be a wooden pen, and they'd press, and it'd have like a little triangle on it. And as they press the different shapes in there, you can see the lines on this. There's two of them right here. This one, you can see it's written on both sides. It's even got some writing on, this one's got some writing on the edge right here also. Yeah, it's right here. This one's got writing on the edge. You can see it right here. Right there. I'm not sure if that's zooming in right there. There's another one right there. But these are authentic from 1900 BC, 1700 BC, right in that time period, from Babylon before Moses. Now again, if people would have known this in, you know, 1850, that whole liberal movement of the Bible wasn't recorded because there's no writing wasn't developed, this diffuses that entire argument. But this is probably similar somewhere in here when it says write on a tablet. Those are tablets, and that is the writing. Now, that's cuneiform. We're going to assume that Habakkuk's going to write it in Hebrew. So we've got Hebrew writing on you know, parchments or animal skins. We've got Hebrew writing on ostracon. Is he going to write it on tablets just like this? Nonetheless, that's what that's referring to. So that's just interesting. I'll bring some more, and maybe by the time we get to chapter 2, I'll bring some more in for you to see. Maybe bring the bula so you can see the actual bula and see the little lines on the back. But again, writing, and when they're talking about writing here in the Bible, we know they're writing on scrolls, they're writing on parchment, but they're also, when it says tablets, I mean, he's talking about the very things that the Assyrians and the Babylonians were recording documents on. He's telling Habakkuk to write on a tablet. And so here we go on chapter 1.